This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Well, here we are on another beautiful edition here of Reinvention Radio. But I gotta tell you, I'm pissed.
But you're smiling.
I will stop smiling and I will start being pissed without the smile.
Okay.
What the fuck is going on?
Oh,
I mean, really?
Verdue?
I mean, really?
I know.
Really? So what exactly are we supposed to do here now? Like, I mean, do we just throw all these fuckers in a concentration camp like they wanted to do with us Jews back in,
so,
I mean, and like that we did in the Japanese with World War II.
Right. Did the husband and wife die?
Yeah.
Okay, but there's another guy possibly out there?
You know, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And it's like, so this guy was, according to his co-workers,
yes,
one of those normal guys. Just one of those normal guys. You would never, ever, ever expect this kind of behavior. The only clue at all, was about 2 months ago or so, supposedly he started growing a beard. Like, you know, one
but
of like those
the playoffs,
you know, he could have been a hockey player, right? I mean, like, you know, he could have been going for the Stanley Cup. I mean, oh, my God, I don't know what, you know, what are we supposed to do here? 21 injured, 14 dead. Are you kidding me? This is a week after Paris.
I know.
This is a week after Paris. And someone said, one of the politicians said, we have to look at this as the new normal.
No, do not say that.
That is what he said. I forget which politician it was, but they said we have to look at this as the new normal.
And when we had one of these, I don't think it was Paris, it was something before that. Obama was really mad, and he's like, this can't be.
This can't be,
the
right.
The new normal.
And that's what a
but
lot of people...
But now we've already changed our minds on that.
There have been, and it's frightening, because there have been more, quote-unquote, mass shootings this year than days of the year. In other words, there have been, every single day, there has been, if you just, not necessarily on the same day, but... Every single day, if you want to just count the number of days, the equal number of days of the year is not equal to the number of mass shootings there has been this year.
So you're from Chicago.
I am. And I am so trying to get Father Flager here on the show. This is the guy who runs St. Sabinus. He's a white guy in the middle of the hood. And when I say hood, I'm not talking about like, you know, ghetto, that sort of thing. I'm just saying neighborhood, because this is what goes on in the city of Chicago. You have all of these neighborhoods. The neighborhood where he is a predominantly black neighborhood where there is a shit ton of gang violence going on. Did you hear about what they did to a 9-year-old kid? Did I talk about that last week?
Is this in Chicago?
This is in Chicago.
No.
Did you hear about this, Rich?
No, I didn't.
Did this
make? Is it going to make me upset?
It's going to make you terribly upset.
Well,
so,
thanks.
You know, that's the beauty of. I know. Why do you come to Reinvention Radio? I'm just like, how on earth are we going to?
Okay.
They took a 9-year-old kid. Ugh. There was a. It's all gang stuff, right? I mean, it's purely gang stuff. In retaliation for someone getting killed. They went after, not the guy, although they ended up getting the guy later, they went after his fucking son, his 9-year-old son, and brutally murdered his kid. And literally just the kid had a basketball, he was in the park, they lured him into an alley, and they killed him.
What is wrong with these guys? Are they going to blame it on the same old... There's no dad in the household. It's a broken family. I mean, what is the deal with all this hatred they have?
So that's what I'm trying to figure out. So is there a correlation in the communities? Is there a correlation at all here that we can point to? Is there anything at all that we can point to that says there is a common thread here, that if we can figure out what that common thread is – then we can solve the problems there, and we can solve the problems with, you know, and let's just call it what it is. I mean, it is in the Muslim world that this stuff is taking place. And again, it's not all Muslims, but there are certain Muslims that are going down this path. There are, and again, it's not all African-Americans, but there are certain African-Americans who are going down this path.
So, well, and they're somehow, like, people from where I was raised in Minnesota, some of these guys were being trained by the ISIS group.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from all over the country.
Yeah.
But what is making them so hateful toward us?
Well, that's the question, right? And if you want to join in on the conversation, by the way, welcome to Reinvention Radio here on a lovely day of just
crabbiness.
Oh, my God. I mean, literally, like, on the way in here, I was trying to, and I rode my motorcycle, and I was trying not to go, like, 150 to get to the microphone here. And thank you, by the way, for telling me that my license plate is falling off of the back of the bike,
because
I would never know, because I don't ever ride behind my own bike because I'm in the front of the bike there. But if you want to join in on that conversation, it's 866-977-2346. And yes, Richard, I will mute everybody here, and I'm just trying to figure out this Blab thing still. So if you're joining us on Blab, welcome. Rich, what else do I got to do here, buddy? I got to click you there. What's going on? Click you?
Yep.
Click you.
Okay.
I'm clicking you. On that. See, it's like, it's all technology.
Yep.
Right there. Rich Ote. Rich Ote. And now I got to make you a host. See, this is all so cool. Blab is a new thing. And we're going to make our guest today also a co-host.
Oh, good.
Which will be Gina Gabellina. We'll have her in as well. And she's going to go like, what the hell did I walk into? What sort of firestorm did I find myself walking into on this Thursday morning? So welcome, Gina, when you come on here. And we'll bring Gina on in a second.
Okay.
We'll give her an opportunity here to gather her thoughts. No, I'm not going to yell at you. Never. I would never yell at you. Do I yell? I'm not a yeller.
No.
I'm not a yeller.
No, you're not.
All right, good. But I am a yeller now because I'm just pissed. And really, it's like,
what does your wife think about this?
Here's what she said to me. She said, first of all, I didn't really know what was going on. I was in Los Angeles yesterday. There was a little conference networking
thing. You were right there.
And so I was evidently pretty close to it. Didn't know really what was going on. She called me and she's like, did you hear about what's going on in San Bernardino? I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I kind of caught wind of, you know, there was some shooting and this, that, and the other. She's like, no, it wasn't just a shooting. There's like 14 people dead, 21 people injured, et cetera. And I was like, oh, my God, really? And the first thing she said, we're probably going to end up having to take care of some of those.
Ooh.
Because she, right? Because she works in the Southern California market here in the San Diego area, and San Bernardino is not terribly far. And for those who have listened to the show before, you know that my wife is a licensed funeral director or a funeral director. I don't forget how they do it here in California, but she's a funeral director. It's a pretty big sort of flagship facility.
Wow.
Anything that goes on here in this, well, Southern California region, they end up with a lot of those folks. And so that was the first thing she said is, we're probably going to end up with a lot of those. Frightening.
Wow. When will she know? They're probably in the corner.
Yeah, I would think so right now. But the worst part about all of this, and you heard where this took place, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, they're taking care of people with developmental disabilities as if they don't have enough problems as it is.
Right. And it was the people that were, they rented this conference center for their Christmas party.
God. So evidently there was some sort of beef. The guy left, came back with his woman. Basically did their
thing. But they already had it planned.
They had to have it planned. And to boot, they found a pipe bomb. They found an unexploded pipe bomb not terribly far from the scene. So they clearly had it planned, right? So it's not like this whole beef kind of thing. They're trying to make it out like something happened at the Christmas party and then they came back. There was something else that must have happened. But and the guns, right? So the guns. Is it the guns? Is it the people? Is it the bullets? You know, guns don't kill people. Bullets do. You know, bullets don't keep people. You know, it's like all that horse shit. They bought their guns legally. They bought their guns legally from two separate gun dealers, one in San Diego and one in Corona. So it's like, so we've got all the, you know, sort of the, you know, the backstops in place. We're running all of the background checks and doing whatever we've got to do. You recruit somebody who has a clean record. They go in, they buy it, they hand it to somebody who doesn't, And then how on earth are you, what do you do? I mean, really, do you just confiscate every single gun?
Well, and they had massive amounts of rounds.
Do you just close every gun shop?
I don't know. I think I was talking to some high schoolers yesterday on the way home from school carpooling. And it's kind of like we got to figure it out because prohibition, marijuana, and now guns.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say it's the innocent people that don't have the right to protect themselves because they can't conceal a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Depending on, I guess, depending on where you are, because there are concealed carry states. I don't know.
Right,
Rich, is California concealed carry state? Do you know?
I think it's only under circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, you're a star or something like that.
Something like that. Okay.
I don't know the specifics, but.
Yeah.
Can.
All right. So here's where it gets really interesting. We're going to have I had to get this off my chest. And Gina's like, oh, my God, what hailstorm did I walk into? But we're going to bring in Gina Gavellini here in just a couple of minutes. And that will be very, very interesting as we look to reinvent profit strategies. And we actually have a sponsor. And I'm going to tell you guys all about the sponsor after the break here as well. And now my sponsor's probably going, holy shit. Like, what did I sign myself
up
for?
No, you isolated it into this segment.
Okay, so when we come back,
you're going to be happy.
I'm going to here. Everybody, ready?
Yeah. Okay, we're good.
Okay. Now, welcome back to
You need to bring your puppies in here.
Reinvention Radio. I know, right? I got to get my dog
on my lap.
I know. And thanks for watching them, by the way, over Christmas break, which is going to be wonderful.
Pleasure.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that is off my chest. I'm done. Now we can go into of the stuff that people actually want to tune into this for, which is learning all about reinvention. And we will be reinventing profit strategies with Gina Gavellini right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Man, you know what? I am so glad I smoke weed and I bring it everywhere I go. Because on the break there, I did it. Even though it looked on the Blab studio camera stuff here like I was sitting here the whole time, that was actually like, you know those folks in California who like put the dummy like in their front seat so it looks like they can go
on
the carpool lane?
Yeah,
so that was like totally me right there. That wasn't actually me sitting there. I went and pulled a few and passed it to Richard along the left-hand side. And
you're fibbing.
And I feel much better now. All right. Awesome. So we've got Gina Gavellini here as we're going to be talking about reinventing profit strategies. And as I said, we have an amazing sponsor. And just want to make sure we give a shout out to our friends at The Mortar. So you've all heard that apartment buildings can be a great investment done right. Investing in multifamily real estate can provide a nest egg for retirement. It could even set you free from the 9-to-5 corporate grind, which is what we're going to talk to Gina a little bit about as well with profit strategies. But as you know, real estate. You know, Mary, you're in real estate.
Yes, I am.
Getting started is hard. So would you like to learn how it's done right from the pros? Well, check out The Mortar, where professional investor Jonathan Twombly will share his insider, got me all choked up, tips and strategies, and it's all free. So just subscribe to The Mortar. That's themortarblog.com. The Mortar, it's what holds the
bricks together.
All right, sweet. Awesome. All right, let's bring Gina on right now. Gina, you there?
At your own risk, Gina.
Yeah, I know, at your own risk. Gina, can you hear us? Are we good? Yeah? You with us? Hi. Say hi. Hello?
Okay.
Try it again.
No.
We got it?
She's potted up.
We got you. Mm-hmm. Almost. Gina? Yes?
Wait, let me.
Hold on. We got you. We'll figure it out.
Hey, Wade.
We're getting there. Almost. Hold on. We need Wade. Technical difficulties. Calling once, calling twice. Gina once, Gina twice.
There she is.
Yay!
Touchdown!
See?
We just celebrate minor victories.
Right. What would we do? I mean, let's be honest here. What would we do without White Wade? I mean, really. if Wade wasn't there to push the right buttons, our show would be hosed. I mean, there's no
we'd
in between
figure it out
about
eventually.
That. Eventually, right. So just that button for future reference that we have to put that one. All right. Got it. All right.
Okay.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm a blab virgin, so I'm glad I'm over it. I was scared. Like, oh my God, you know, the
right?
First time technology, I get like all like,
we do that every week.
Well, I, you know what? So here's what you have in common with someone who's pretty famous. Have you ever heard of Simon Sinek, the guy who wrote Start With Why?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yay. All right. So,
that was a delay.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll get there. Gina was like,
let
Simon Sinek. How about, maybe Gina smoked as much weed as I have, because it's like, you asked me a question, and like 10 minutes later, I'm like, yes. So we had Simon on, and by the way, if you guys are listening to the podcast here, thanks for listening, and check out that episode, because that was pretty darn, what do you think, Rich? Well, how was that episode with Simon Sinek?
It was cool.
It was cool.
The
CEO of Blab even jumped on, and we got to got to 10,000, like more, like whatever those little applaudy thingies are that you get here on Blab. He got that
props.
Faster than anybody else at props I've ever seen. But here's what we did for Simon. We actually popped Simon's cherry for Blab.
Whoa.
And we are not.
Do you have to say things like that?
Well, we're not going to pop. We just popped Gina's cherry. It's all good. She is no longer a Blab virgin.
Okay.
Simon is no longer a Blab virgin. And we are responsible. So I think that's a good thing.
There you go.
All right. Awesome. So yay,
Kelly,
Gina.
Stop clapping for Mr. Bull.
No.
She just like fired off
cool.
like 12 of them.
I love that. That's awesome. See, I am now up to 29. All right. This is not cool. So now, Mary's got 38. All right. Now I'm cool. All right. So Gina, hi.
Right.
Welcome to, welcome to the madness around here known as Reinvention. Gina's like, I bill at $3,000 an hour. I am so sending you a bill for this right now, Steve. It's in the mail. All right, so for those who don't know you, talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're joining us today. I know why you're joining us, but give people a little overview in terms of who you are and what you're doing.
Well, you know, first I just want to say I love that you curse on this show.
Oh, go ahead. Just like get it out of the way.
You may not encourage him.
I love that you said shit ton. That is like one of my most favorite phrases. And it pretty much describes what I like to do. I like to have a shit ton of fun in my business. I like to teach other people how to have fun. And that's what you guys are doing here. Because
yeah.
I seriously think that inner game is the way to results.
Yeah.
Because if you're having fun, all the greatest ideas come through. It's where reinvention happens. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's hear the first
fun
segment?
Is number one.
Yeah. Mary wants to know if you had us on mute in the first segment. That's I think that was the question.
I saw that, but you're still like, you know, you guys are just so you and you're in the moment and
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So go a little bit deeper in terms of the work that you do, who you work with, and specifically, what does a day in the life of Gina Gabellini look like nowadays?
I get up to madness with children. Once I get them to school, my world is peace.
Mm-hmm. How many do you have, by the way? You got two, right?
I have two.
Yeah.
Two crazy boys.
Yeah. How old are they now?
They are 5 and 7.
Oh, my God. Those are great ages. Oh, that's fun.
Those are great ages.
All right. Awesome. And so they leave, and it's like the drunks when they arrive on Bourbon Street. You know, it's like they turn the corner, they get to Bourbon Street, they're like, oh. It's like the angels just start singing. And that smell, you know, that smell of, like, urine and vomit and booze and beer.
It.
They're like, oh,
I'm home.
So that's what you do, Gina. So you light the incense, you get the candles going, and it's like, I'm home, things are good. And so
it's all good.
And then you turn around and you teach people how to make money.
I do. I work with small entrepreneurs, and we figure out, like, where are the system breakdowns? You say you want to make this much money. Why are you not making that much money? And here's how we get you there. And we usually shake things up by start with fun and inner game stuff. And they're like, what?
Mm.
Give me some strategy. Like, what's the sales pitch? Tell me how to market. I'm like,
right.
Hold on. Let's back up the truck, and I got to start up here because this generates everything else.
Yeah. And so how much, I guess the question that I have for you is, how much of business success in your mind is just about I guess, what's the difference between sort of ability, where people have natural born abilities, but also just in terms of like enthusiasm and attitude? Where do you think the two kind of mesh there? I mean, if you're looking at like a Venn diagram, how much of this is like enthusiasm and energy, and how much of business success is like just ability?
I think it's both.
That's a Venn diagram, by the way.
Yeah, I see that.
I know.
Are you showing? I don't
very
see...
sophisticated.
That's the beauty of like the visual component now. Like I can actually do like visual things, and people are like, "Oh my god, he's even."
I can actually see it.
He's even stupider than I thought.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is a concern about Blab. We do let them see too much, probably.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Well, you know what, Earl Nightingale in Lead the Field, he says attitude is the number one component of success.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah.
So he had the wrong attitude. Why would you listen to that
guy? Well, he got old. That's why he died.
Yeah, but obviously, Gina, you agree. So talk to us a little bit. And by the way, you talked about expressions, how you like shit ton of that. You know what my favorite expression is now? And my wife actually told me this. I can't even. Can you even imagine being a fly? Actually, you couldn't be a fly on the wall in a morgue like that, because that would be like that
weird.
Would be contaminated. So that'd be bad. But imagine you were there. The things that they're throwing around right now at each other a lot that I find kind of humorous is asshat.
What is that?
I don't know, but I just love it. It's like, you're an asshat. I don't know. It's just like, there's so many different uses of that. I think that's going to be my new thing. So I love that. And so, okay, Gina. So
that was a sideways.
It was, but she
comment.
Said that's like, I, you know, she talked about one of the expressions that she likes. All right. So, Gina, some of your clients, give us some examples of some of the folks that you're working with, where they were when you started working with them, and where you've been able to take them.
All right. So this is what I love about radio, like this, so unscripted. It's fun. So I had this
Wait, you didn't get the list of questions? Oh, man. Kelly, we're going to have a talk with Kelly.
So this is what I love. Like, people come like in a swirl of dust, right? Like, I need help. I need this. I need that. You got to help me. And they think what they think is wrong is usually different than what's truly driving the chaos. And she said, I'm not making enough money. Like, I have a line of clients out the door, but I actually am not making any money. I'm not taking any vacations, and my team sucks.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we always blame the team, right? It's the team's fault.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's check things out. And when we check things out, when you look through her numbers, it's just that she just wasn't charging enough. She had, like, no system, so they were recreating everything every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's stressed out. So one of the things that we do is we look at, all right, so let's create a plan. You can't, how can you start a business without a freaking plan? But I know you've probably seen this too. So everybody does it. They're like, I have this thing I want to sell, and let me just go do it, and people will love it, and people will, you know, say yes to me and give me money for it. It's mm-hmm. like, well, what's the plan? Where are we going with this?
So
what's the amount of profits that's going to feel good? What are the numbers? What's actually profitable? Because the number, what you're charging right now isn't going to make you what you say you want at the end of the year, because you're going to end up with nothing. You haven't even ran your numbers.
This helps to explain a lot.
Right?
So now it's all becoming crystal clear in terms of, like, what my problem is. Because it's like, so wait a minute. So you actually have, there is
write
actually
them
a
down.
Way. There is actually a way to do these sort of things. Interesting, see?
So do you back into the numbers? Let's say a person says, okay, I want to earn $200,000 this year. Then you back into each month and what they have to do to charge to get that. In 12 months?
You know, yes, and then I'll actually back up even further before we decide the number that they need to charge is, do you actually believe that you can do $200,000? Like, no shit. Like, you're willing to put the stuff in place. You believe that you can actually do this, giving how, you know, what, how long you've been in this industry, you know, what you know, like, what you know about how to market and get clients, and what's, you know, just like, how do you feel about it? Because there's the, you know, the people that get excited, yes, I can do it, you know, and there's that enthusiasm, but it's not grounded.
Right.
You know, you can be excited about it, but if it doesn't truly feel real, like, yeah, I'm going to nail that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I have a concrete plan and I can nail that. Okay.
Yep.
You know, we can do it. It doesn't have to be month to month. It's more about, you know, what are your, you know, proposed expenses, of course, like the normal things that we know. What are our proposed expenses? How much do we need to charge to do this? But if you don't believe any of it and you're not excited about whatever the hell it is that you're selling, mm-hmm. you're not going to have the motivation to do the things necessary
yeah.
to get the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so let's do this. We got to pay some bills around here, otherwise Wade gets mad at us. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Gene Gabellini about a number of things, including the 7 steps to high-paying clients. So
and
should
we're
be
going
pretty
to get through those, Steve.
And we are going
all
to get through
7.
All 7. All right, okay. More on Reinvention Radio right after this.
One amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
The board thing. That,
well, we,
the,
were talk- we were talking. Stop talking to
me. Right, we were talking about, like, what do they call that poo-poo drink at the thing with the volcano? At the thing they light on fire, a foo-foo drink or a poo-poo drink. There's something they call poo-poo plant. I don't know. Whatever. Gina probably knows what the hell I'm talking about. Did you bring Gina back up, too? See, look at you.
No, the volcano is the drink.
And
the
I'm
poo-poo
on the shortest leash ever.
Food.
Look at this thing.
I know. You got to get like a longer cord over there. Wade's got you on a very short leash.
That's
so
true. There's
so
Wade.
Yeah, see, Gina knows what a volcano is, right? See, when I said volcano, Gina, I could see the smile. You know what I'm talking about, right, Gina? Yeah, see, she knows. That's all we got to do is just smile. Are you disconnecting me? Oh, no, I'm being disconnected. Don't disconnect me, Wade. All right. So, Gina, before the break, we were going to talk about, a number of different things. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was you've got, obviously, a lot of strategies around...
7.
Yes, 7. I know, 7. But you've got a lot of strategies around how to build the business and to get more profitability going. Talk to us about the high-paying client strategies, because I know you've got some steps that you usually recommend people take. So what are some of those 7 steps, or even all 7?
So I don't have those 7 steps right in front of my face. So what we're going to do is we're going to do it just like we're a client. Like, we all here, we like to make money, right? Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So, let's do this. Rich is broke. So let's take
him.
Rich through the process here. So all right, Rich is a client, and what do you tell him? How do we get through this?
I say, Rich.
Hey.
What's the number that's going to get you more than enough money? Not like enough, but more than enough. Like you have some left over, like a lot left over. So you feel like cushiony.
Oh, man. Cushiony? Like right over the front? Let's see. Let's just say, I mean, this is way more than enough. 1 million.
Damn, you're a greedy bastard, aren't you? God damn.
She just started with the context.
That's what you need
she
for
She said
a
more than enough. Super cushy.
We got to work on your expenses, man.
No. Well, I mean, to keep in context with your first thing you were saying earlier, right? You were saying if you got to believe it in your head, too. So that's part of how I feel about affirmations. If you don't believe it and subconsciously you're saying bullshit, like they're actually messing you up, I think. So anyway,
yeah.
You said more than enough cushy, so I'm saying 1 million. Otherwise, we can make another number.
Well, actually, if you've met Trish, I got to say, probably 1 million is about right. She's got very, she's got fancy taste.
Okay,
so.
Half a million.
We just cut Trish's budget.
Right?
All right, so there you go.
Okay,
all right, so let's work with
much.
Rich. 500,000.
Well, don't listen to Mr. Bold. I think, keep your million. You don't need to cut it down. I think, but because I also think a big number is better, just because when it feels realistic and it's a number that we actually need, like, hey, I need to buy that new house and we need a down payment, so I need to make an extra $50,000 this year. And all of a sudden you're on pins and needles and you're like, shit. it's not happening, and you're watching the bank account, and there's all this judgment happening, and all of a sudden there becomes a lot of pressure. And I think when we're focused on money, we got to be expansive. We have to, it has to be fun. And when I say fun, I mean, like, the making of it's got to be fun. You have to be in, with your curiosity hat on, like, how the hell is this going to happen? That's such a huge number. I've only made, like, $250,000. That number's so far out there. So it actually lightens things up because there's no pressure. So do you feel any pressure when you think $1 million?
No. I don't feel pressure.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm pretty sure that the security hat is going to be a lot more comfortable for you than the ass hat.
You just had to work that in.
She set it up. I definitely
could picture having fun with $1 million too.
I could picture having fun with your $1 million. There's no doubt about that.
And usually, for the, you know, wanting money for the sake of money is usually not super exciting. So we usually have to connect the dots to, well, what am I going to do with the money? Like, I make my clients create a wealth plan. Like, what do I need? Like, if everything came up to speed and I was going to create security for myself, what do I need to handle? So, like, in my case, when I first had kids, I was extremely worried that I wasn't saving enough money for a kid's college fund. So, like, okay, I got to make more money because I do not want my kids to be in debt, and I don't want to go in debt when it comes time for college, and I don't want money to dictate what college they go to. I want them to be able to choose. So we all need to, like, what is that number that we need for security? What would I be putting in place? Not just savings, but what do I need to buy? Like, office equipment, like in my house, I have 3-bedroom house. I work from my home. I've got 2 boys. It's insanity. So I keep on my contractor husband, dude, we got to build the cottage down the hill. That is security for me. Mm-hmm. I'm in the house. These kids are nuts, and we need more room. So there are things that we need for security, and then there's the things that we need that, okay, once we feel calm, cool, and collect, what's important to us? And we need to be connected to that. Otherwise, we won't do what we need to do to get to the million. And we won't work on our mindset, because our mindset is totally going to mess with us. And it's going to be the number one thing that gets in our way is our mindset. So when you think about your $1 million, I mean, you know what you might do with, you don't have to tell us, but, like, can you connect the dots? Like,
oh, yeah
I know
definitely.
Exactly what I would do.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was just going to say, by the way, if you're just joining us here, thanks for tuning in live with us. We are talking to Gina Gabellini of MasterpieceCoaching.com, and I love that name. And by the way, it's MasterpieceCoaching.com, so MasterpieceCoaching.com. All right, so Gina, you're taking Rich through how to get to the million. Please keep going.
And then I would start looking at, all right, what do I have to offer? What do I have to sell, like, in terms of my most favorite things to create and deliver? Because, you know, if you are selling something and you think, it's lame. It's not really, like, the best I can produce. It's a product. It's, like, right now I have an app, right, that people can go download on iTunes or whatever, and it's not functioning right now. It's totally embarrassing. I want to pull it off the market until we get the upgrades, because when people are going to get it, they're going to think, this is a piece of shit. I'm going to give it a bad review.
Yeah.
And so we have to always be looking at, what are we promoting, and do we feel good about not only what we've created, but in the delivery of it? And then what are some fun ways that we can create to get from point A to point B? Like, in my industry, and I know that Mr. Bull does something similar, like, we have things called online launches. And in our industry, people, like, want to slit their throats when they do an online launch. They're like, oh, my God, it's so stressful. And the team goes crazy, and everybody goes crazy. And when I first heard of these online launches, I thought, why would I do that? That sounds like hell. I never want to put myself through that, and I don't care how much money I made. It sounds like terrible.
Yeah, now you do 4 of them a year.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But the reason why I was able to transition into that, I said, I don't ever want to do one. And my marketing guy said, well, the only reason those people feel stressed is because they don't plan. And I thought, oh, really? I can plan. And yeah. I said, all right, I'll try one. I said, but only if you promise that we can do it and have fun. And he said, oh, totally. Mm-hmm. And then we just, like, let our creativity go nuts on what are all the different cool ways that nobody's ever seen that we can offer in this online launch. And every time I made a decision about that launch, when my goal, because it was my first time and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, the number that sounded crazy to me was, I want to make, you know, 6 figures in this launch. And I had never made 6 figures in anything I had done, all in, you know, one little chunk right up front. And so every decision I made, I said, is this decision I'm making going to get me closer to $100,000? Because often we want to be cheap asses.
Yeah.
We do. I do too. I want to, like, oh, it's going to cost this much for video production. Oh, I can get away with not doing video production.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just film it in my friend's backyard when we do these, you know, video productions. So we have to continuously ask, is what I'm saying, is what I'm investing in going to lead me to that $100,000? And is this going pro, or am I playing small and doing the same old things that I've always done? Because if I keep doing the same old things I've always done, I'm never going to make six figures.
Yeah.
I have to up-level every single thing I'm doing, both here and strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And talk about, I guess the best word is alignment or congruency. Because, like, if you want to have a business that generates $1 million and you're walking around looking like a grand, you know, it's like there's probably going to be, at least in terms of the mind of your potential customers, your clients, et cetera. I mean, how much does looking and acting, like you just talked about the video, right? Like cheaping out, right? And so if you want to have $1 million launch, if you've got $1,000 videos, that might not cut it, right? So how do you feel sort of about this whole congruency and alignment side of the equation? Like, I mean, is it, if Rich wants to get to that point of making $1 million, what does he have to do to convey that to the world?
I don't think it's necessarily about what we are putting out on the outside. I think it's absolutely what we're conveying here. You know, I knew I launched a mastermind 1 year where it was a high ticket item, and I just wanted a few people. I just wanted about 10 people. But I was it was right when I was going to have baby number two, and I thought, I got to leverage my time. If I don't leverage my time, I'm just not going to be a good mom, and I'm not going to continue to keep making more money every year.
Yeah.
But I was so attached to this thing working, I had not one person sign up. Mm. And from the outside, I did all the right things. I had a marketing coach taking me through all the steps. It was pristine. Not one person freaking bought.
Wow.
I had my little morning session, you know, where I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm never going to make enough money, and I'm just going to suck, and my business is tanking, and, you know, I just made up all this shit. And 3 days later, I got myself together, got my head back on straight, and all of a sudden, I said, you know what? I'm going to find a way. I'm so attached to this single strategy being the way.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to open myself up. Every year, I make more money than the year before, and I'm sticking to that. That's going to be my mindset.
Yeah, and you're doing this work in 3 days a week, right?
Well, I probably work more now because I work about 5 days a week, but I have to work minimal hours because of the kid thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's a whole different routine.
Yeah.
But I definitely work about less than 30 hours most weeks.
Wow, that's awesome.
Once I released the attachment to making that money, that specific way, in that specific time frame, it was like all these incredible things happened where I ended up having my biggest month ever, and it had nothing to do with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it all comes from here. It's like, you know, you can talk to a client, and you can know they're the right fit, and they won't say yes, and you can't understand why. And
yeah.
There's usually something in you that's desperate, not feeling not worthy, you know, you're just not aligned with the outcome that you say. I mean, it's everything. It is everything because we speak different, we act different when we're aligned with that goal.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We know it's a shoe, and it's like, hell yeah, I'm doing that million.
All right, well, let's do this. All right, let's take a break, pay a couple more bills around here. Let's talk conscious business and conscious entrepreneurs with Gina Gabellini right here on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
what we do there.
Oh my
gosh. We're too busy chatting to each other.
Seriously.
Here. Oh yeah, by the way, our mics are not on. The joys of the joys of live radio. Awesome. And yes, Gina Gabellini, you are being filmed whether you like it or not. And what we didn't tell you is that actually from now on, actually from this point forward in your life, once you are a guest on Reinvention Radio, you are always a guest on Reinvention Radio. It never ends. So the camera literally will just follow you no matter where you go. All right, very cool. All right, so let's do this. What I want to figure out, though, is there's this, all this talk out there about sort of like this whole movement of conscious business and conscious entrepreneurship and all that stuff. What does that actually mean? And does that, by sort of definition, Does that really imply then that the other businesses are not conscious business or they're not conscious entrepreneurs? Just I've always been really kind of curious about that. What's your take?
I don't know.
You don't know. I don't know. Perfect.
There we go.
Yeah. Welcome to my world. Exactly. Okay. So there let's talk about Mary's date then tonight.
Oh, brother.
No, we'll talk about that later. But no,
see
seriously,
what I mean, Gina?
I know. And every day, every week, you come back, which is so awesome. All right, but no, you do talk about conscious entrepreneurs in terms of those are the folks that you work with. So I mean, hell, it's in your bio. So what does it mean?
I'll tell you what I know. People use it loosely, but what I mean by that is we're really paying attention to inner game, and there's a connection to probably some spirituality, and we really care deeply about impacting the world, not just making money. Like, making money is very good, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
And there's this bigger purpose in play.
Gotcha.
And when I mean conscious, I mean we're not just floating through, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, with the things that we're doing in our business. We're actually being very intentional,
mm-hmm.
and we're taking time out to pause, and we're connected,
yep.
Me and you.
Yeah, I gotcha. And one of the things that I find to be so interesting, and you actually talk about this a bit, is you've got clients that, by all definitions, I mean, they're doing really, really, really well and have, like, a lot of money, but even then they're still concerned about the finance side of the equation. How do you kind of address that mentality? Stop turning me down. How do you address that mentality? Mary's just playing with the board.
Steve is on four.
I'm on four. Everybody else is on like eight. All right, I got it. So, but how do you address sort of like that line in the sand kind of thinking where people just like, oh man, if I just had $1 million in the bank, then like everything would be great. But then they get $1 million in the bank and they're like, oh man, I need five in the bank. And it, like, how do you kind of work your clients through that?
It's true. I have a person who literally hired me to help her with abundance, and she is a certified, I've gone and done the research, she's a billionaire.
Mm.
And wow. Because we are constantly expanding, you know, what we can tolerate in terms of like just wealth coming to us. And I don't think it's about the dollar amount. I mean, I thought six figures, right? When you're a teenager and when I was in my early 20s, man, if I make six figures, I am rich. I was so not rich.
Yeah.
I was like, I got six figures and I'm like, I feel just as broke as I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not really working on the inner game and we're still making choices based on that very limited thinking. And it's scarcity thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're worried that we are not going to get what we want. And it has nothing to do with money.
Yeah.
It has to do with what we feel that we can create out in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just it's the little things. It's not, you know, like a billionaire client obviously doesn't worry about, oh, am I going to be able to afford something? It's, am I still going to get what I want? I'm afraid the money's going to go away. Is this a fluke? I know I felt that way, too. The first year I did really good, I thought, oh, my God, what if this all goes away tomorrow? Don't get too happy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel confident?
How do I feel confident?
Yeah, teaching a billionaire. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? And I mean that in like a...
It's true.
Like, how do you work on the confidence to be like, wow, I can teach
like
a billionaire how
like,
to make
how
more money.
How does you feel qualified, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's
because obviously you believe.
Totally. There's several clients I have that make way more money than me, multi-millions. I am not a multi-millionaire even. And because it's not about them, they're not, what they really need to do, all they're really doing is giving themselves permission to feel safe and know that they can continue creating. If you, whatever you've created, if you've created it once, you can create it again, and you can rely on that. Nobody can take that from you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that we've seen many examples of this, Donald Trump, right? But it's true. If you've created it once, you can create it again. And if you created 100,000, you know what that feels like. And if you just times it by 10, it's not like it's harder. It's just a little bit smarter, and it's not even still about strategy. It's about expanding what you believe is possible. And that's a great question about, you know, how do you coach somebody who makes way more than you? Because it's not about strategy. It really is about what you're feeling in here.
Yeah,
I mean, and I can spot scarcity a mile away.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, Rich, I don't know if you know this or not, man, but I work with male models, like, a lot, and I help them to feel like I look handsome and those sort of things. And yeah, I mean, you know, exactly. And so I have it mastered, because even though I'm not a male model, I can still teach them how to feel confident and work with their chiseled jawlines and flexing pecs and so on. All right, very cool. So are we talking like money gremlins here, Gina? Is that, because I know that's one of the terms you throw around, and I love that. So what is a money gremlin?
It's like all the lies that you say to yourself, like, it's going to go away. I'm not smart enough. I can't handle it. I know a big one is money. Getting money is attached to intelligence for many of us, and it's attached to how much action can we produce in a day. Like, if I can just get this stuff done and put all these things in place and, you know, just work a little bit more, then I'll get there. And it has nothing to do with how much action you can pack in a day, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you've got a book that you put out along with one of our mutual friends, Eva Gregory, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is the name of that book, and where can people grab it?
Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction with Miss Eva Gregory and Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen.
Right, we're not name dropping at all now, are we? Jeez. Okay. You know?
Truth, just truth.
It's just truth.
That's a great example. Let me just talk about that for a second, because Jack Canfield in the human potential industry is a huge dude. Like, everybody wants a piece of that guy because he's got great reach. And I used to have a radio show back in the olden days out of San Francisco, and I saw him, and I wanted him to be on the show, and I went and asked him, and I thought, I don't want to go ask him. I'm just going to be like another groupie trying to get his attention. We had him on the show. He called us after the show and said, oh, my God, what are you guys on? You're so happy. And he's like, I want to be your friend. I'm like, holy shit,
Jack Campbell wants to be my friend.
And, you know, next thing you know, we're writing a book together. If I would have tried to make that happen, it would have taken me months and years if I even got to it. And it was just all about that heartfelt connection. And I'd always said, I'm never going to write a book. That sounds so hard unless I co-write it.
All right, very cool. And by the way, here's how you know if you're like a really close friend of Jack Canfield. He invites you over for chicken soup. Like, that's how you know right there. Hey, thank you very much. I'll be here all day.
Oh,
all right, Gina, we're going to let you go now. If people want to get a hold of you, they go to masterpiececoaching.com. Is that the best place?
That is the best place. We got tons of free resources. And don't forget, peace is spelled P-E-A-C-E.
Exactly.
Like inner peace.
Nice.
All right. Very, very, very cool. All right, Gina, peace out. Yeah, masterpiececoaching.com. Very cool. So thanks, Gina. Really do appreciate you being here on Reinvention Radio today and in the next hour. If you're staying with us here live, thank you for doing that. If you want to call in, it's 866-977-2346. You're going to hit number one on that. But we're going to keep running here on Blab, and stick around with us in the next hour. We're going to have a pretty interesting show with Emily Filarama, and I'm going to butcher her name. She's going to be like, after all these years, you still can't pronounce my name.
You do have a name thing.
I do have a name thing. It's like, there's no, I can't get the name thing right. But that's why I have you, and I don't know what you're doing. We got to get you off of the computer.
I'm on Blab.
You're on Blab. Okay. Yeah. So you're just looking at yourself. Do I look good for tonight? Am I ready? All right, very cool.
Sponsor.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so Reinvention Radio today, and of course, I just hit the wrong thing here, but I will just go by my knowledge. I've got knowledge.
You got 20 seconds to tap into it.
Watch this. I can do it. Check it out. So this episode of Reinvention Radio brought to you by The Mortar. Have you ever dreamed of escaping the corporate grind and becoming a full-time real estate investor? Jonathan Twombly made the switch from miserable Wall Street lawyer to full-time real estate investment professional. If you want to learn how, go to themortarblog.com. It's The Mortar. It's what holds the bricks together. Themortarblog.com. We'll see you next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.